This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, February 26th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, an interview with Northern Illinois University President John Peters. He'll talk about the school's recovery less than 2 weeks after the fatal shootings of five students in a lecture hall. Classes there resumed yesterday. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. A federal judge has identified Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich as the beneficiary of an alleged illegal kickback scheme. Previously, Blagojevich repeatedly denied he was the unidentified public official named in the case. Ben Calhoun has more.
Blagojevich is identified in a filing for the trial of indicted political fundraiser Tony Rezko. Rezko was a close friend of the governor and one of his top fundraisers. In the past, Blagojevich repeatedly said he was not the politician who stood to gain from Rezko's alleged crimes. Rezko's indictment identifies that person only as, quote, a certain public official. The new court filing, however, describes an alleged shakedown scheme from Rezko's indictment and specifically identifies Governor Blagojevich as the previously unnamed official. In the alleged scheme, Rezko is accused of rigging a state contract. He and another man allegedly required that a contract recipient either make a $1.5 million campaign contribution to Blagojevich or give a $2 million bribe. The governor's office denies any wrongdoing and denies any knowledge of the situations described in the case. I'm Ben Calhoun.
City council members in Champaign will discuss whether a contract for animal control services should be tweaked. Champaign police handled calls for dangerous or stray animals until 2005 when it started paying the county for its animal control service. Council members Deb Finan and Gina Jackson are questioning whether the county has the staffing for the job, pointing to slow response times. Deputy Police Chief John Murphy says under the previous arrangement, city police had a hard time juggling animal control duties, and the new contract is starting to work well.
It's been kind of a growing process because it was a new service and a new facility that they were involved in. But overall, it's worked well. We've had great cooperation from them and very little transition pains for the most part.
Finan says what she would like to see is an addition to the contract that sets out minimum performance standards. The contract is the subject of a study session tonight at 7 at City Hall. Urbana Mayor Laurel Prussing says she'll ask her city council next week to join Champaign in fighting Ameren's proposed rate increase. AM 580's Jim Meadows has that story.
The Champaign City Council voted last week to intervene in the Ameren rate case before the Illinois Commerce Commission in the hopes that other cities would join them. And Mayor Prussing says Urbana should join them because Ameren's rate hike request is too large to let go unchallenged.
And I think the only countervailing power that we can use on these is to have the cities join together and work cooperatively.
Ameren wants an increase in its delivery service rate that would raise its overall rate more than 13% for electricity and about 11% for natural gas. The city of Urbana would put up about $17,000 to help fund the legal objection to the rate hike. Prussing calls that a small price compared to the $100,000 a year that the rate hike would add to the city's street lighting bill. The intervention into the Ameren rate case will focus on such city concerns as street lighting. Prussing says they'll let the Citizens Utility Board focus on consumer needs in its own intervention into the case. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Indiana Lieutenant Governor Becky Skillman missed a chance to put one of the governor's key property tax proposals into legislation, but the matter could come up for another vote today. The Senate yesterday voted 23-23 on a proposed amendment to shift all property tax assessment duties from townships to the county level, something Governor Mitch Daniels has pushed. As president of the Senate, Skillman was to break the tie, but Senate leaders were confused about the procedure, and Skillman announced the bill had failed. Senate leaders consulted with legal advisors and determined that Skillman should have cast the tie-breaking vote. Senate leaders agreed to bring the assessor proposal back for another vote today. Much of the equipment that Illinois has stockpiled to deal with a natural disaster or an act of terror is designed to hit the road. As Amanda Vinicky reports, Champaign and Decatur are scheduled to see two of those trucks roll on into their towns.
Since the terrorist attacks of September 11th, the federal government has made Homeland Security funding available to states. Illinois Emergency Management Agency spokeswoman Patty Thompson says Illinois is using its grants to develop layers of response mechanisms and tools. While the equipment stays in select cities, much of it is mobile. Thompson says Illinois' communications equipment is designed to travel, as are specialized command vehicles.
If you think if we have a really large disaster somewhere, we would probably need several of these there, and they can be just all dispatched to an area to help out.
The latest addition is nearly two dozen mass decontamination vehicles. Thompson says these trucks are equipped with shower stations. They can be deployed in the event of a hazardous materials leak or a weapons of mass destruction incident. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
A federal judge has tossed out a lawsuit filed against Bloomington Police Chief Roger Aiken by a patrol sergeant who claimed his rights were violated when he was passed over for promotion. Sergeant Paul Williams' lawsuit contended Aiken deviated from an announced practice to hire off an eligibility list in order, costing Williams a promotion he claimed he was entitled to have. When a lieutenant position came open in 2003, Williams was at the top of the list. Aiken promoted the officer who was third on the list. Federal Magistrate Judge John Gormans ruled yesterday Aiken had the right to use his own judgment in the promotion process. He noted the chief told officers in two meetings that he would promote off the list unless there was a good reason not to do so. If a movie is made about the life of Barack Obama, the presidential candidate says Will Smith should play him because the two have something important in common, those ears. Obama tells Entertainment Tonight for an upcoming show that he and the actor have discussed the issue. The interview is to air today and Wednesday. Obama says his favorite movies are three Oscar winners, The Godfather, Godfather Part II, and Lawrence of Arabia. But he notes that campaigning doesn't leave much time for him to watch movies. For the latest newscast online, go to wyll.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Students are back in class at Northern Illinois University. Events are going on as scheduled, and except for the makeshift memorials dotting the campus, NIU looks a lot like it did 2 weeks ago, in the days before five students were killed by a gunman in their classroom. But NIU is far from back to normal. Counselors are on standby in classes again today, and there are many decisions still to be made about the university's future. Susan Stevens spoke with NIU President John Peters about these early days of recovery and how he is coping.
Well, I was sitting in my office and working on email, and I got a call from Dr. Williams, Eddie Williams, that we had an incident on campus and that we had to activate our emergency plan.
It worked well enough?
Well, I'm gratified that our response was the response that it was. And I've thought a little bit about that in the days since the incident. And you can have a plan, and it's, you know, written down. But when you're in a situation like that, when you get the call, you don't grab for a piece of paper. What it's all about is professionals who have been trained. And as I've watched the campus react, and it has been a monumentally gratifying reaction. We have so many trained professionals who just did their job and knew what to do. And it's, they talk about this and they practice. Whether it was our security people who did a marvelous job, whether it was our academic people as we began to massive ramp up to resume classes, to our food service people who took care of everyone. Everybody did their job.
As president, you are, when it all comes down to one person being responsible for this campus, it's you. Did you ever feel like your responsibility would be this big?
Well, many years ago, I went into this profession to teach and do research, and I never anticipated that one day I would be in that situation. But luckily, I've had so many experiences and know so much about universities. I'm not happy about being in this situation, but I didn't think very much about it when we were in it. I just did my job.
Part of your job has had you spend a lot of time at funerals, talking to family, and in hospitals. How does that weigh on you?
Well, right back when I was sitting in my office and the call came, and then the early reports filtered in, something came over me that said, you have to take care of the families, the victims, and the students. And that's all I thought about. So it was natural for me, after dealing with, the crisis management, dealing with media, because, we need to get the word out, and I'm the president. But it was natural for me to go to the hospital and visit the victims and try to console and touch the families, and then to attend as many of the services and all of the funerals, to get to know the families, and to get to know our fallen students. And that gave me great comfort, although it was great grief, in that I felt that I knew them and could be part of that. And that, to me, that was one of the most important things that I did. And calling the victims, visiting the hospitals. Sure, it's been hard, but it's also been, for me, a natural thing to do.
It's got to be gratifying to see them as they start leaving the hospital, too.
Well, you bet. I talked to one young man who was injured in the hospital, and he was released. And talking to him on the phone, I said, when you were up and around and able, please come by and see me. Well, it was Friday, and he showed up in my office, and I was just elated, and he had a smile on his face. He was obviously been through a trauma, and I asked him, he's back in class, and he was so happy because he had retrieved his MP3 player. And had his music, and that made me feel very, very good. It made me feel very proud and confident that we were going to get through this and move forward, but never forget.
People keep saying new normal. What does that mean to you?
Well, it's a Virginia Tech phrase that they use. I think it means we're going to be a lot better than we were before. The reason... What has happened is the world has been now exposed to the caring and the strength of this institution. People from around the world have seen this, and we have seen it. Maybe we knew it intellectually, or we talked about it, but we didn't live it. Now we've lived it, and I see it, this care and concern for each other.
We've all heard from people from our past, we'll get emails and calls ever since this happened. Any surprising person you've heard from your past?
Yes, that's been very interesting. Former graduate student friends, when I was at the U of I years ago in the late 60s, early 70s, people I haven't talked to for 30, 40 years have said, just reaching out to you and NIU, grade school chums reaching out, and then just the outpouring of people who don't know us. One of the most poignant of the many hundreds of expressions that I received that touched me was a card from the children of this Amish school in Pennsylvania, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, that were victimized, it was a year or so ago. That touched me. I received a prayer shawl from a 90-year-old lady in town who wanted to express her care and concern. Expressions like that. It'll take me 6 months to respond, and I will respond to each and every email and letter that I've received thousands. I mean, maybe not tens of thousands, but friends from all over the world.
Susan Stevens of member station WNIJ spoke with Northern Illinois University President John Peters. Cloudy skies in our forecast, very windy, periods of light snow and flurries, and some occasional blowing snow throughout the day. Additional snowfall of less than an inch expected, the high around 30 degrees. Mostly cloudy skies tonight, breezy and colder, the low 16. Partly sunny and cold tomorrow, the high 26. Partly cloudy and cold Wednesday evening with a low of 13. Partly sunny skies on Thursday, the high 32. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, February 26th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wyll.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.